Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 204. Apologize for the first hour. Oh, boy. Trisha, be glad you weren't here for the first hour.
Yeah?
Like, we could be in some trouble.
Yeah. Go back and listen to that on the podcast.
You probably shouldn't.
I might not post that one. I incriminated myself on a few things.
Yeah, I think. So this is kind of an interesting thought. So Trisha is pretty pregnant and walked in. I'm like, how tired are you? People are like, how you doing? How you feeling? Blah, 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 and all that kind of thing. And, you know, do you feel more like having more babies or less like having more babies? And it just strikes me what humans can get through,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've clearly my own experience with pregnancy is watching it happen twice and being as supportive as I could, but having nothing to do, you know, with, you know, the feelings of it. But having been through hard things emotionally, physically, you know, spiritually, what have you. And just like looking at you like, yep, we're just doing this.
And every day you wake up and you just do it. And it's weird because some days I'm like, man, I feel bad for myself. I'm uncomfortable. But then like, overall, grand scheme, I'm like, I'm doing it, and it's not that yeah. big of a deal, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy. I will say, my husband and I are having, like, very different reactions to it, because the anxiety and the, like, pain points are, we both have them right now, but they're different. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, get this thing out of me. I want to be free. And he's like, keep that thing in as long as possible. Like,
I want to be free.
So we've reached this strange point where we're both kind of on edge about everything, but it's like coming at it from opposite sides.
Right. You know this from your nieces, but in my experience, like when you first have the baby, it's all just happiness and joy, and they're fairly easy. Like they're like a little meatloaf that poops, you know, right? And then at some point they smile at you and you're done, but you can still set them down and walk away. Because they can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Once they can go somewhere, mm-hmm. now it's like prevent defense time.
Mm-hmm. You get them their little like baby, they're like a little baby fence that you keep in your living room.
Yeah,
it's just like go in there.
It's straight up a fence.
You put them in their little baby cage.
Yes,
that's what I wanted to say, but I was afraid to 100%. Say baby cage.
It's true. It happens quick too. I've got friends who have a 6-month-old, and he's already like moving around in his little like walkie car thing. I'm like, 6 months, like he just got here and he's already there having to lock everything
up. Do you feel like you're going to be okay, now it's time for baby Einsteins. Now it's time for this. Now it's time for that. Are you just going to be a little more chill?
I hope I'm more chill. Are you guys familiar with Miss Rachel?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There are conflicting opinions on Miss Rachel.
Does anybody have an opinion in the room? Has anybody?
I only know the name and the basics of who she is.
Yeah, I've only really seen her on TikTok. She seems nice, but I could see like parents getting really sick of listening
kids
to her talk.
Kids love her. Mm-hmm. Like she does such a great job with kids. She is the worst thing as a grown up. And my friends will put Miss Rachel on in the background and I want to jump out a window. And I think at what point am I going to turn from like, this woman is a good influence on my baby too. I can't like take one more second of this. Like, is there
or she'll just be
flips?
Your best friend ever, you know?
And I think that's what parents decide is she's amazing because she's like entertaining and informative and everything else. And I'm like, I seriously, I'm going to fight her if I find her. Yeah. So
it is interesting to see how like my brother and my sister-in-law have made friends with the show Bluey because all of my nieces are obsessed with that show. And they're like, no, Bluey's actually pretty good. Like, they're like coping with it. They're like, it's actually like a pretty decent show.
I watched so much Barney that I was finding subplots.
Yeah. Subtext.
A couple of the kids were having a relationship. Yeah. You know, it's like
a lot of tension between Barney and the pink one. the pink dinosaur.
You're picking up the 2 o'clock right where you left off the 1 o'clock.
And isn't it the most like duh thing ever? Like when you really think, but when you sit and think about it, like everyone who's been on the planet, all of us included, are here because of what Trisha's doing right now.
Right.
Like, you know, like everyone has gone through
billions
that process.
Billions and billions and billions.
And you just kind of take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
My friends who have kids, they all have, I think it's funny how they all have different opinions on which Miss Rachel video is like inappropriate for their children or whatever. Like one of my,
is she racy?
Well, there's like one where she goes to the zoo and my friend Liz, who has a 3-year-old and a newborn, was like, no, I don't like that one. We're not watching that one. Like, well, we're at like a restaurant with her kid. And I was like, why? What's wrong with the zoo one? She goes, I just, nope. No. He's not watching that.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to start for me, but it scares me that it might start.
I don't know. I found, like, they could have been watching, you know, propaganda films, and as long as they were quiet at Chili's, I didn't care. It's fine. Like, 9/11 was an inside job. Like, yeah, probably so.
Yeah, you do wonder how many like, current-day parents are like, I will not have the iPad kid, and then it's like, please take the iPad and occupy yourself for a second.
And wear headphones so nobody else has to hear it.
Yeah, I have learned just from watching my friends with kids, like, any judgment that you have in your like mental image of like, well, you know, I'm not going to be an iPad parent or whatever, like, leave that out of the door, because you have iPads are a miracle for their ability to distract kids and keep them quiet for a second.
I'm just really one generation above you guys. And the equivalent of the iPad for me, although we didn't even have one, but other kids had them, so I got to play with them, was the thing on your crib that you'd, like, there's a mirror, there's a honk honk, there's a this, there's a that, there's a twisty. Uh-huh. Like, you had iPads with actual programming. I'm just like, okay, I guess I'll look in the mirror again.
Those actually still kill for the, like, littles. Those,
yeah.
Those mirrors and crib things, but, yeah.
Andrew's enthusiastically agreeing.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Andrew's like, I love mine.
Yeah.
I don't mind mine one bit. With the little fake driving thing.
Yeah.
Not like a fancy one, but like just the old school
tabletop little,
steering
like, gear,
wheel. Yeah.
Horn.
Yeah.
I remember when one of my girlfriends, friend that was a girl, had one of those Barbie heads.
She's not my girlfriend.
And she used to style it.
Girl, okay.
And had my dad caught me styling the Barbie head, I would have been just a head myself. But I remember being like, oh, that looks like so much fun. I wish gender roles weren't so absolutely set in stone.
I remember one time I was younger. It was a birthday party I was having at a bowling alley. I don't know, maybe 6, 7. Some of my friends that were boys, we used to like playing with lightsabers at their house. Like, it was super cool. We'd do boy stuff. And they bought me a lightsaber for my birthday, thinking it was going to be great. But I had invited girls from school to my party, and I was so embarrassed that I got a lightsaber for my birthday. I secretly loved it, but I still to that day remember feeling like shame for not being like, this is the greatest thing ever, because that's what I felt inside. But those gender norms were...
I had one surprise party my whole life, and I'd heard about it, as you do, from your friends. And evidently my dad got annoyed with them before I got home and sent them home. So it was a real surprise. I showed up and nobody was there. Oh, happy birthday to me.
I had a lot of girls' toys growing up, and I didn't realize until I started talking about them on the radio, and my friend Rachel here was like, those are girl toys.
What?
Like Littlest Pet Shop? I was deep in Littlest Pet Shop, man.
Those were great.
I could have been running those. Well, exactly. Trisha's like, oh, those were the best. Yeah, because, you know.
From a girl's point of view.
Yeah. And I had a lot of, like, I had, like, a stuffed dog veterinary set. Rachel's nodding as if to say, oh, yeah, I had one of those, too. Because every girl did. I didn't realize these were girl toys until I grew up.
The thing is they're not. It's like little boys should be able to. I mean, what is inherently feminine about being a veterinarian? Nothing.
They should, but I guess it's more to say I was impressed with my parents in the 90s when gender roles were more of a specified thing than they are now.
Did they?
They were willing to be like, oh,
get those
see where
for
this goes.
You, or did you ask for them, or do you have any idea?
I definitely,
like, for example, was it important to them that you have fluid gender toys?
No, I don't think it was important to them. I just think, they didn't care as much as I think a lot of people would have cared. Right.
Yeah. Like my dad, when he caught me kissing the doll behind the couch, wearing my mom's wig.
Yeah. And I've always given my dad a lot. My dad, my poor father, he wanted athletes more than anything in the whole world.
Mm.
And he got me and my brother, my brother is the only person on earth less athletic than I am. I remember my dad tossing him keys one time. We went camping at a cabin, and my dad tossed him the keys to the cabin, and my brother, like, literally, like, flinched away from them like this. And my dad was like, oh, boy. But he never encouraged us to do sports more than, like, once it turned out we sucked at them. He was very good about being like, well, let's Find something else for you to be interested in, because you're not good at this.
Sports was so much part of my life. And my dad didn't push me so much, but my coaches did. And that's back in like the 70s and the 80s, where by pushing, they could like literally push you. And so I told myself, if my kids are into it, great. If not, I'm not going to push them. And Nick was a good little athlete. And then he had a couple of bad teams. He's like, yeah, I'm not into this. So I didn't push him. But now I think he's kind of mad at me that I didn't push him. So what are you going to do?
Yeah. You can't wait.
But I do think in hindsight that having basic athletic skills is necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just.
Yeah. I wish I was better at sports and stuff. You know what I mean? Like there are certain sports that I wish I had stuck with more than other ones. And that's not a failing of my parents. That's more of a failing of me.
Were you an athlete, Trish?
I gave up on that stuff.
I was a swimmer. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And I quit when I was a teenager. I was like, I'm done with this. My poor parents, they put all those years of travel and money and time. Like, she's going to get that college scholarship. Mm-hmm. I turned 16. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just going to the parties on the back roads. We're done with this.
I'm done.
But I do think that there's something really important about the discipline and the structure of sports when kids are young. It's almost kind of, and obviously it's not apples to apples, but almost like going to church or something, finding some grounding in something.
Yeah.
Is what I think is
the
most important.
Learning to lose is really important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not to get into the whole very tired discussion about like participation trophies, because as Wheels always says, kids know. They keep score. Even if the parents aren't keeping score, they know if they won, they know if they lost, mm-hmm. they care.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to realize you're not better than everyone at everything. Mm-hmm. And you're not worse than everyone at everything.
And we were able to find that, my brother and I, in particular,
sure,
in marching.
Sure, Littlest Pet Shop.
Well, it was rough.
He's gonna be a vet one day.
Streets of Pet Shop. But like in the marching band.
Time to take this dog's temperature.
Marching band was a competitive thing. You know, it was a very athletic. It was. It was a very athletic thing. It was a competitive thing. We learned the structure. We learned discipline. We learned winning and losing. We lost a lot. We weren't very good.
I thought you were good.
As a unit, we were pretty mid. At that time, there have been great years.
He was the superior.
Yeah,
he was great.
He was
good.
There have been very successful years for the Alton March 100, but I'm not sure any of my years were
those.
Big time winning years.
It's a lot of Andrew today. Not mad about it. You've been very entertaining. No, it just. I feel like we're doing like a special.
He's spilling his guts.
Yeah,
it's nice.
He really is. So it's National Donut Day.
It is. Happy National Donut Day, everyone. What's everyone's favorite type of donut? Because I have a hard time narrowing it down, honestly. Today, I'm feeling blueberry cake. That's one of my favorites. But I really like all types of donuts.
Just last night, I found out that on my DoorDash, the donut drive-in is on there. So I ordered some of those. And this is not a knock on donut drive-in, because I ordered them on purpose, and they're fantastic. I like an old place. Mm. I don't like a donut shop to be very clean. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I want a little grime on there.
A little grime. Yeah. I want a little stank.
Yeah, a little divey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those are my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had a couple donuts from Donut Delight earlier. That place is awesome. My favorite is, I don't know what they're called, but they have the chocolate on top and they're round and they're stuffed with something.
Ooh,
custard or the whipped cream stuff.
Yes, the whipped cream.
Schnucks has the whipped cream one.
Yeah.
That's
my go-to.
Those
are the best.
I don't know who the genius at Schnucks was who decided to fry a croissant, but
it's
pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And just a reminder, when the Cardinals hit a home run, you can get a free donut from Schnucks the next day if you have the Schnucks Rewards app. I'm just saying.
It's called Donuts for Dingers.
Always be selling.
Always be closing. Welcome back, guys. DGS 224. Hancock and Kelly will be coming in at the bottom of the hour. Might play a game with them. Might just, shoot the crap. Who knows? Restaurant is going viral for banning everyone under 30. The restaurant in Missouri, actually. So men have to be 35. Ladies have to be 30. They do card you at the table. They say this is a place for grown-ups, not for grown babies.
Yeah, I've seen this. I keep seeing it on social media. I think the name of the restaurant is Bliss.
It is.
Yeah. I guess they've had, or I think they just opened, but they don't want to have people acting inappropriately. This happened somewhere else in the country too recently, where they're like 30 and above, we're just tired of younger people coming in and causing a ruckus, so we have to put in an age limit.
Speaking of people your age, the Wall Street Journal, this is a big story on telephonophobia, which is just what it sounds like. And people your age are afraid to make or receive phone calls. There's someone, a woman named Mary Jane Copps, who calls herself the phone lady and charges $3,000 a day or $200 an hour for one-on-ones to teach you, for example, how do I end a phone call?
I mean,
do you think this is completely ridiculous and overblown, or is there something to it?
I think it's probably pretty overblown, because the story I had seen was it's Gen Z. Gen Z has no idea how to talk on the phone, which, okay, I get it. I get that people do get very real anxiety as far as like, oh, someone's calling me. I don't want to talk on the phone. I feel awkward. But I think most people are able to overcome that hurdle and say hello and just have it. I mean, there's nothing really that different about having a conversation on the phone than there is in real life. So if you know
do
how
they
to talk.
Really have that few phone calls? I mean, I have very few phone calls.
I have very few as well.
Yeah, I think so. I have very few also. And I have to make a call when I get off work, and I'm thinking about just not doing it and driving all the way to the place that I want to call and ask if they have a thing.
Like, you dread it so much that you will go out of your way.
Like I'm gonna drive to St. Peter's from here, like, rather than make a 30-second phone call.
But that anxiety would never manifest into I need to pay somebody to, like, help me navigate this phone call. Like, I just don't want to talk to anybody.
I would be far too ashamed to... I mean, I'll say it on the radio, but I'm far too ashamed to, like, tell that to a private contractor.
$3,000.
Can you help me? I wonder if they need that skill, though. Sort of like cursive writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you don't have it, but do you really need it? And will you really need it that much in the future?
I mean, it might be obsolete soon.
Mm-hmm.
The AIs get smart enough to where you can just chat online with whoever to get your issue solved. I mean, but
is there no joy that they're missing, though, from talking on the phone?
No.
I think that there's a strange thing that happens, though, where people don't want to talk on the phones, but they're okay with FaceTiming, too. There's something with the generations where they're like, you can see me, and I'm laying here, and I'll talk to you this way, but I don't want to pick up a phone call. Like, to me, that's worse. I don't want to do either, but...
Happy Friday, everybody. 234 DGS. Both Hancock and Kelly are here. This hasn't happened in quite a while.
Wow. Exciting.
Nice. Yeah. Before we get started, shout out to our buddy Brian Main, the golf pro at Whitmore. I'm going to go play golf this weekend after not holding a club for probably 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why?
But here's the thing, though. I know you're a golfer.
Kind of.
Yeah, same with me. But you'll get this. I'm not a golfer, but I'm a decent enough athlete that I can fake it.
Yeah.
And I am at a level of golf that I can go 5 years and play exactly the same.
Yes.
I have nothing to lose. You know what I mean?
And it's all about taking the attitude of, I'm going to be okay and accept whatever happens here. And,
I couldn't care
and hopefully
less.
You dub the first. Yeah.
I don't want anyone to make fun of me, but I'm playing with people who aren't going to make fun of me.
But you play guitar.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So maybe this is like same for guitar players, but when you're a golfer, there was a time that I was a single-digit handicapper.
Ooh.
I was down to 8.
That's great.
You know, and I could play some really good golf. Now I think my handicap is 19, and it's probably higher than that. But it's frustrating. Now, there's been times that I've been able to put myself in that space, however, I could go out and play
muscle
and be
memory.
Okay with that. Be okay with playing poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But more often than not, last Friday I didn't come in here because I went to play golf, and I was terrible, and I hated it. And it was like, why did I waste my day doing this? Blah, blah, blah. And so maybe that's what it's like for a guitar.
You got to enjoy the scenery. You got to enjoy the company.
Yeah, but as a piano player, if all of a sudden you slammed down in front of the piano and you were just clanking it because you hadn't done it for a while, you'd be upset, right?
No.
Okay, yeah, you're going to be all pious. Make me look like a
douche. Have you done Top Golf, Dave? Have you gone to
Top? I've never gone to Top Golf, no.
So this is like cold, 7 years cold.
Yeah.
Wow.
But again, like I said, My golf story is very classic, I think, that as a kid, we used to dig a hole in the dirt and put a tin can in it
Mm-hmm.
and play golf
sure.
in the field. And I was pretty good. because, again, pretty good athlete and didn't care, didn't know any better.
The hand eye.
And then in law school, a bunch of my buddies played, and we would take golf trips, and I got into it to the extent, and Nick's grandpa, my former father-in-law, played, and we'd go play it together all the time. And he took it really seriously, and he was one of these guys, no, your elbow, yeah. No, yeah, your shins.
Oh, man.
And so I started, like, buying videos and using dinner plates, and it all fell apart.
Yeah.
Whenever, once I tried to be good, yeah. I started really sucking.
OCD, you get into it.
Yeah.
And then that's life mean. Happens with golf. Like, some people can create a life that they get to play golf every day, and good for them. But for the rest of us, like, you got to go to work. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, because golf is just like.
You ever play out at Whitmore?
I have, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Great place.
It is lovely. And they got the 218 holes. Mm-hmm. Nice people out there.
Very nice.
And it's a mature course now. When I grew up, it was, they had just built it.
Yeah.
I remember when Bob Whitaker was building it, we'd go out there and
that's cool.
have bottle rocket fights on it late at night.
So, you know what I was thinking about? Because, you know, John's exactly my age, and you're close enough. And these guys are from Illinois, so that adds 20 years to your age. But remember, like, I had this ongoing battle with bicyclists, like the ones who dress like they're competing in the Olympics.
Yeah. Lance Armstrong.
So that they can get that extra half mile an hour going down South Kirkwood Road. But I digress. But remember the magic of riding your bike through the neighborhood, through yards, through grass, and then when you'd get to wherever you're going, you'd just jump off and dump it?
Yep.
Oh,
just leave it sitting there.
Just the best.
Yeah. Did you have what... We had a mongoose bikes. Does that make sense?
See, that's the difference between me being about 13 years older than you. I'm from the 10-speed generation.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the kids that were younger than us got the mongooses and the Huffies and all Huffy, that kind of stuff.
Pickers. I had a pea picker.
What's a pea picker?
I don't know what it was, a bike. I'm pretty sure it was my sister's bike.
Was it made for road or dirt?
Because we always called it. It was made for kids.
Yeah.
I had the pea picker. Now, we had a bicycle built for two.
Oh Lord.
That's cool.
Now it was cool.
What are you? Yeah, 90? Were you 90? Were you at the World's Fair?
They never let me ride in the front. That's all I know. My sister would ride in the front, or my dad would ride in the front, but I never got to ride in the front of the bicycle.
You only mastered the pea picker.
I was good on the pea picker. It was green. And it was a fine bicycle in its day.
I had mine stripped, which is when someone steals it and takes the stuff off it. And I remember it to this day. It was just so traumatizing.
Yeah, that's bad.
Found it in the alley.
Ooh.
Left it on blocks.
Went out and bought the very first bike I saw at Sears, which, if you've ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure, it was that but green. It could have been a pea picker. It had fenders. It had white walls.
Yes.
Talk about like the 1904 World's Fair. And my dad, who is not known for being cool, when we walked into Sears and there's the first bike, and I'm like, I want it. And he goes, you want that bike? And he tried to talk me out of it. And I'm like, just put it in the truck. And rode it up to my friends, who all just hit the ground laughing. And I did what I always do when I'm uncomfortable. I lied. And I told them it was an Italian 50 speed.
Ooh.
And they're like, where are the gears? And I said, it's inside the tube.
Wow. Yeah. I still
did
remember.
They buy it?
I still remember.
One kid,
it is Roxanna.
One kid was like, in the tube. That's cool. And all the rest are like, there's no gears in the tube.
Was the one kid like, whoa.
Were you probably the right age for it? This whole like skateboard culture that started.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Tony Hawk, is he like around your?
No, it's Tony Hawk. So I was the first generation. Makaha was the brand that everyone wanted, and I saved my money and bought that. And I could skateboard, but I couldn't do any tricks.
Yeah.
And being from South Roxanna, I didn't realize that there was a world outside the wall. And so I didn't realize that all my contemporaries were doing tricks. And so in seventh grade, we had like a field day kind of thing, and they had skateboarding. And I'm like, well, just go ahead and give me the old gold. And everyone's doing these tricks, and I just put it away. And
right.
I'm like, well, I got nothing to show you.
It was like, I was a Tony Hawk fan.
Were you?
Yeah. I could never skate, though. I have not coordinated enough to not. I have poor balance.
I bet old Rachel could skateboard out there.
I tried to skateboard. Yeah. No, I mean, I wish I would have been good at it, but I was kind of like, Dave, I could do it, but I couldn't do a single trick. But I was like, Andrew, I loved Tony Hawk. I think we were just of that generation where he was like super famous and he had like the Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, and that was the era. You can skate though, right?
Yeah.
Like roller skate. Mm-hmm.
That was also the era of like the show Jackass on MTV was extremely popular when I was in like high
school and
college.
X Games and stuff like that.
X Games, that was all skateboarding culture. Yeah.
So were you an athlete, John?
Well, you know, I don't like to talk.
I know you don't.
But, they used to call me the Stork on the basketball team there.
Dork?
The Stork.
Oh.
Because I had very long and very skinny legs. But I led the team in free throw shooting percentage.
Wow, look at
played
you.
Played basketball. I played baseball.
Two shots a year.
Nobody. I was mostly confined to shooting pool. Yeah, I was the Stork. That's
the
what they
Stork.
Call me. Now, the guy, so my best friend on the basketball team, we were best friends. We used to wear silk shirts together to school every day.
Same shirt?
Yeah, well, similar. The old silk shirts, remember?
Oh, boy, do I.
Yeah. So he went on to, he moved to Lutheran North High School, and then he went to the University of Arkansas. And then he was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks.
Get
made
out.
The Pro Bowl his rookie year.
Wow.
As a kick returner and played for 4 years, got into drug and alcohol problems, and was out of football. Life was kind of a mess. He pulled himself together. And after being out of football for 6 years, he came back and played again.
Damn.
Bobby Joe Edmonds.
That's impressive.
He's in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame.
How about that?
Yeah, right.
Great guy. And we were best buddies back in
the day. I bet you made that silk shirt work. Now, John is a handsome man now. You are.
Oh,
but you were a hottie, weren't you? I've seen pictures.
I didn't think so. I mean, you know.
I know you don't like to talk.
I don't. Now, you know, not really.
Do you have that photo of you with the hat on and the mustache and stuff that you sent to me one time?
Maybe somewhere.
Yeah, I'd love for everybody to see that. That ought to be posted on the DGS website.
We're not going
to
show that.
Now, did you try to work the ragtime angle with the ladies? Or?
So I had one.
But it was a hit.
The lemonade gal at Six Flags.
How old was she?
I don't know. I mean, we're all
how old was she?
And, so she, you know, we start talking,
70?
and she says, "Do you give piano lessons?" She says, "Do you give piano?" I said, "I certainly do." And I said, "You know, when we don't have a concert up at Old Glory Amphitheater, we'll take you up there and show you a little stuff on the piano." What was her name? Anyway, that was
Did you date?
Probably shared. We did. I probably shared enough of that.
Wow,
really?
That's impressive.
I never told you about that.
But what? Like, there has to be a pecking order at a theme park. Like, where do the characters? Where do the music guys? Where does the guy who runs the train system go? Are you top of the heap?
Well, no.
Are you quarterback of the football team?
I'll tell you who was driving the train then. Mike Duffy.
From Mike Duffy's restaurant?
Yes.
That's
he was
crazy.
Driving the train at Six Flags back when I was playing the piano.
Was Vince Shamel running the log
flume? No. But the gal that was a conductor at the St. Louis train station is now the head of PR for Six Flags.
Jeez.
Were you more popular than like somebody in like the Yosemite Sam costume?
Oh, well, because nobody knew them. Now,
yeah, they were anonymous. You got to be the star.
I took second fiddle to Doodles the Clown. I mean, that guy was amazing.
Oh, sure.
But that's with the fans.
Sure.
But what about with your like
tussle
peers
with Doodles?
Oh, Doodles was incredible.
Yeah.
350 pounds of pure clown. And, I mean, and when he'd get on that tricycle, buddy, I mean, people, their mouths would be, it was unbelievable what that man could do.
Did he steal the lemonade woman from you?
No, he never got her. So she
never got her.
No, the cotton candy yet.
Listen, Doodles, you back off, and then he plays the entertainer.
But he plays it in minor chords.
We play chess on our breaks.
That's intimidating.
A brilliant chess mind, Doodles the Clown.
Really?
I mean, yes. I mean, he would take his nose off, and he would move those pieces. I mean, it was
when the
incredible
nose comes off.
He was a 400-pound clown.
350.
350-pound clown.
Fat shame. I mean,
sorry, I didn't mean to. I apologize.
And what that man could do with a balloon animal was unbelievable. You've never seen somebody do stuff with a balloon animal like
this. And you
this
don't
guy.
Think he got the lemonade girl.
He might have. I'll tell you what, that poodle that he did was awfully impressive. And the alligator. Oh, my goodness. You've never seen a balloon alligator. Like, this man was a genius. Good stuff. It's all good stuff. I thought we were going to play a game in here.
We are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going to do that at the top.
I feel like I'm talking to
you. Oh, boy. The stork.
The stork.
Stork.
There he is.
Why don't you find that pic on the break here?
I've got the pic
okay.
of the stork.
I'll tell nobody ever. So at the top of the hour, we're going to play Hey Battle of the Halfwits with Hancock and Kelly. Should be fun.
Right
yeah. Can I brag about something that Phoebe and I are going to do on our trip? Mm-hmm. So just the two of us, the only two that could make it, and that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Be a little awkward. You know, like 12-hour ride there. I mean, awkward because she's 19. You know, like, so, boys. And we are going to Keystone, Colorado. My buddy Scott Rutledge, who is my Fox Paw partner, has a place out there he lets us use like it's ours. And then I surprised her. We are driving 3 hours south one day on a day trip going to the Great Sand Dunes National Park.
Yeah.
Where you can sandboard.
That's
and
cool.
sled and all this kind of stuff. And then I found this place called the Mothership. You can look it up. It's a geodome. It's a big, rounded, geodescent whatever. And it's about a half an hour from there. And there's zero light pollution. So you can see the Milky Way.
You so may cool. never have another opportunity to spend that one-on-one time
you better believe
with
it.
Your daughter. And
yeah.
just cherish every second of it.
Yeah,
know?
Going into her sophomore year,
yeah.
she's pretty close to...
Yeah.
So, is she a TikToker or an Instagrammer? Like, it's not like you're going to be on Highway 70 and she's going to be like, Dad, you know, smile. Are you going to be on it?
I won't, but I'm sure she's already picked out her outfits for, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I was at a soccer game the other night with some young folks, and that's what they do, like, to show, like, they just snap what they're doing, and I'm like... I'm in the picture. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. No.
Yeah.
There must be consent here.
I'm sure I'll do a lot of filming, but she made National Honor Society.
Nice.
And when she, and cum laude. And
nice.
So when she was doing the walk and getting her award, I was filming. And I don't know where that film is. And I decided that moment, like, I'm going to stop filming life and I'm going to start living it.
Yeah.
And I still, when she graduated, I was still filming, but you know, trying to watch and get, you know. But, yeah, I think we waste too much time looking through our cameras.
Yes.
Yeah.
I noticed it on opening day watching the Clydesdales go around.
Mm-hmm.
I was not filming and everybody had their cell phones up. Everybody.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to take it in. You know, just take in life. But yeah, I'm looking at this. It's not our last trip together. You know, we're travelers and we like to do stuff. And we have something for my 60th birthday set up for next year. But this
but
one should be pretty
kids,
cool.
Right? That's all the kids. I mean, this is just one-on-one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm spending Father's Day with my son in Chicago for a Cardinal Cub game.
Nice.
At Wrigley. And just the two of us. And so
it's, that's very cool.
Those are special times, man.
Yeah. You guys are pretty tight, right?
Very tight.
Yeah. And he's how old now?
30.
See, yeah, Nick will be 30 next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of lived parallel lives here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Other than Doodles the Clown.
Wait for grandkids, man. It will change everything, Dave.
I don't know. I hope I get to do that.
It's going to happen.
My kids are sort of like, I don't know about bringing another life into this screwed up world.
Well,
I don't try to talk them out of it because that's the easiest way to get them entrenched.
Totally get it.
But yeah, I hope I get to experience that. Coming up at top of the hour, we're going to play Battle of the Halfwits. Should we do teams, you think?
I don't know. I mean, this is a nice full room. I think we should all just play ourselves.
Yeah, fine.